chapter 2 for our Old Testament reading. I apologize. I am sorry I didn't do that, but can't do it now. Amos chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kerioth, and Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting, and with the sound of the trumpet. And I will cut off the judge from the midst thereof, and will slay all the princes thereof with him, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes, that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek. And a man and his father will go in unto the same maid, and profane my holy name. And they lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar, and they drink wine of the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Yet I destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit from above, and his roots from beneath. Also I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. And I raised up of your sons for prophets, and of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel? Saith the Lord. But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. Behold, I am pressed under you as a cart that is pressed, or a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. Therefore the flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not strengthen his force, neither shall the mighty deliver himself, neither shall he stand that handleth the bow. And he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself, neither shall he that rideth the horse deliver himself. And he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, saith the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have that same pattern that begins here in chapter 2, showing us the reality that the chapter breaks are often somewhat artificial. They're just they are there to help us keep track of where we're at in the book. But notice that we have divided between a contiguous narrative here in this chapter selection. And that's okay as long as we keep that in mind. So we have Moab here. We've already talked about Ammon in chapter 1. That was the last section in chapter 1, Ammon. And now Moab. And of course, they were the sons of the two daughters of Lot, we remember. And they were related to Israel through that relationship, that blood relationship, in that Lot was the nephew of Abraham. We remember that, right? Okay, and so Moab is accused of something particularly rapacious here, in that what he does is they conquer the Edomites. Now remember that Edom was just south of Moab, right? So on Transjordania over here, the Jordan River up here, in Transjordania here, you have Edom, Moab, Ammon, like that. Okay, and so Moab goes south and conquers Edom. Not satisfied with the conquering of Edom, Moab takes the king of Edom, kills him, and then burns his bones to powder. That is an especially rapacious act. Normally in the ancient Near East, what would happen is the king of a bested country would receive honors as king, even as a vassal, and he would be allowed to live on. But not so with Moab. They just went for that completely vicious jugular, and they killed him and then burned his bones to lime to show their complete victory over Moab. And the Lord says, for that, there's a particular place of shame that belongs to. And so I will cut off the judge from the midst thereof, and I will slay all the princes thereof with him, saith the Lord. And we have that same pattern for 3 and then 4 and fire. 3, 4, fire, right, is what we have in all of these passages here. So now we turn to Judah. Now, why would Judah come before Israel? Normally, we are used to Judah being last on the list because they were the place, or Judah was the place where the worship of God was proceeding, under the title of commanded worship, right? But remember that Amos is sent to the northern kingdom, not the southern. And so in this instance then, Israel is going to be last on the list. But notice what is said about Judah. They have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. But I'll send a fire upon Judah. It shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. We know that there were many times in history where the palaces of Jerusalem were devoured because they turned away from the commandments of God. The use we need to make of that is, out of all of this list, right, what have we heard? We've heard of Damascus, we've heard of Edom, we've heard of Gaza, we've heard of Tyre, we've heard of Ammon, we've heard of Moab, we've heard of Judah. We come to Judah now, and notice that Judah is unique in that they had the commandments of God. And so that is the ground upon which they are judged. And so even those who have the commandments of God are not safe if they do not keep them, if they do not watch over their own behavior, right? Okay, now finally we come to Israel in verses 6 through 8. And there are two things that we see. We see idolatry and indulgence. And those things always go together in Scripture. Idolatry and indulgence. We see it in Sodom. If we do the reading in Ezekiel 16, 48 and following, we'll see idolatry and indulgence going together. We see it here in Israel. They pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor. Notice, it's a worthless thing, but it's on the head of the poor, so they must have it. It's not theirs. They must have it. It's dust. That's okay. I don't have it. But it's on somebody. I can simply take it, and it's easy pickings. They're the poor. They have no resources. They have no defense. I must have it. Right? They pant for the dust on the head of the poor. So we hear covetousness. They turn aside the way of the meek. Indulgence. A man and his father will go into the same maid and profane my holy name. Indulgence again. They lay down on clothes laid to pledge by every altar. That's also oppression. Those clothes laid to pledge, right? Loan me a loaf of bread, sir, please. What will you give me in pledge? I'll give you my coat. Okay, and they take that coat and they lay it down in front of their altars and they lay down on that coat instead of giving it back. You remember what Moses' law was, right? You don't keep the pledge of the poor overnight. What's he going to sleep in? What does it say? They lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar, and they drink wine of the condemned in the house of their God. So, wine of the condemned, that is that which was taken by way of a fine, the wine of the condemned. Now the Lord vindicates his own work with them. This is an aggravation of their sin. Okay, so in verse 9, I destroyed the Ammonite before them. Also I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I raised up of your sons for prophets, and I gave you Nazarites, right? Prophets to teach you the word of God, Nazarites to remind you of the concept of holiness. And what did you do with all of that, the Lord says? What did you do? You gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and you commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. So verses 9 through 12 is God's vindication. This is not my fault. This is your fault. I gave you everything you needed. I treated you differently than the rest of the nations. In the next chapter, he's going to say, you only have I loved out of all the families of the earth. I drew you out of Egypt in chapter 3. Well, what did they do with that? Well, they cursed themselves with it, is what they did. And so notice that just having the things does not mean automatic blessing. Having a prophet, having a Nazirite, doesn't mean you're blessed. You want God's blessing with every good thing, right? Okay, so now we come here and notice the Lord condescends to them in this kind of language when he says, I am pressed under you as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. You've seen the pictures of those carts that have so much on them that, you know, the wheels are looking out, you know, like this, and the axles are about to burst, and the sides of the cart are like this, and the bottom of it looks like that, and the team of animals pulling it can barely pull it along because it is so very pressed. The Lord says, do you expect me to go with you like this? Right? Like a cart that is pressed. Can you draw along a cart that is pressed? Do you think you can draw me along under this condition? It's anthropopathic language, obviously, but still the Lord is saying, I will not go with you in these things. So verses 14 through 16 speak of the judgment that will come upon the northern kingdom. Talks about their mightiest, how they will be their most afraid. Talks about their strongest, how they will be their most weak. Their swiftest, how they will be their most crippled or unable to run. And the courageous and mighty shall flee away naked in that day, saith the Lord. And so the Lord will take away all of those temporal props by which they had assured themselves. They will all go away in that day. And that's how the chapter ends. Let's stand and continue praising God in the